Scripture reading today is from Psalms 119, verse 33 to 48. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decree, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes, that I may not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, and your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak to your statutes before you, kings, and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands, because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decree.
Good morning. Hi. Righto. It is good morning. There we go. I can't see my people. Give me some lights. Thank you. Awesome. This week was a good week. On Tuesday, Mona and I get together with our life group, and we sit down and we talk. And one of the things we were talking about this week was, what does it look like to live out our faith in our world today? What does it look like for each one of us, for Chad, for Mona, to walk out into their world and deal with the things that they have to deal with every day, knowing and believing the things that we believe? What does that look like? So we're going to talk a little bit about how we find that out. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm so thankful for today. I'm so thankful that you have given us this place that we can sit and that we can listen to your words, that we can sit and stand and sing, and we can listen to testimonies of lives changed because you do amazing things. I thank you so much for Rock Solid and the work that they're doing there. And I just pray, Lord, this morning that the same truth that they speak to those boys there would be the same truth that you are speaking to us, and that our hearts would be open today. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm not sure if you've ever done any home renovations before, but if you have, you likely will have had to do some drywalling. And if you haven't done it before, this is what it looks like. The easy part is putting up the drywall. Of course, when I say that's the easy part, I know that the people who do the mudding and the taping say, but you have to do it right, okay? But the easy part for me is putting up the drywall. And then after that comes the taping and the mud and the sanding and the mud and the sanding and the mud and then the sanding ad nauseum for what seems like forever, especially if you haven't done it before. Anybody can relate to that? Can you relate to that? Yes. Okay. So it's hard. And especially, you know, I'm okay, but I'm not the official mudder. When it comes to putting up the drywall, I do that. The rest is in Mona's hands. She does that. And I'm thankful because I just leave. And that's good. But this is what it looks like sometimes. You spend hours on this. And it's not like you can quickly get it done. You have to wait for the stuff to dry. And then you sand and you put more on and you wait. And it's like forever, forever. And then you get done and you think, I think I got it. It looks good. And you paint it and it's all ready. You put the furniture in and Mona's picked out the perfect furniture for the perfect thing. And so we put the bed in there if it's a bedroom, and we put the side table on and we put the clock on there, and it's the clock that we bought, but it's just far too bright. We can't even sleep with it on, so we give it to the spare room. So we put that clock there, and then we put the lamp there, right? and you look around and it's like, hey, this looks good. And so then let's see what it looks like when they're lying in bed and turn the lamp on. So you turn the big lights off and you turn the lamp on. And it doesn't take long and you look up and you can see directly above a lamp that seam climbing all the way to the ceiling. And you're like, oh, how did that happen? I looked and it was perfect. We saw and it was like we couldn't see any blemishes. It was perfect. And yet the light exposes the imperfections. Or maybe there's a time where you've been, you had to stay overnight in a strange place. Not strange as in weird, but strange as in not your own bed. And so you go to, let's say you're in a hotel, and in the middle of the night, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where you're having a good deep sleep and you wake up and you think you're at home and it's dark. And you swing your legs out of bed because you always still sleep on the same side of the bed in the hotel, right? You swing your legs out of the bed and you're headed to the bathroom and you run smack into a wall. Because, and then all of a sudden it's like, where am I? You don't know where you are. The darkness, it inhibits reality. Darkness distorts that reality. You think you have it figured out in your haze in the middle of the night, and you walk along, and usually, I don't usually walk into a, like with my face into a wall. It's almost always what? Your toe. Yeah, that's right. And that just goes, and it feels like it's just going like that, right? Anybody experience that? That pulsing toe, usually the little one, how it could cause so much pain, I don't know. Darkness and light. On the one hand, the light reveals the truth, the reality. On the other hand, the dark distorts the light. There is darkness in our world too. People are searching in our world. They are groping around. If we turn off the lights here and try to, and I try to get to you, I would struggle because there's stairs. Well, in the dark, stairs aren't a good thing, okay? Because you end up falling, whether you're going up them or down them. And people are in this world and they're groping along. If you can just picture, you know you're in the dark, you're trying to find your way, and you're looking for something. You're trying to hold your hands out further than your toes, right? Because your toes always get it. And so you're looking, and what do you find sometimes? All of a sudden you find something, and you touch it, and it's the wall. And it's like, okay, I recognize that. I'm going to hold on to that wall. Don't let go of that wall until you know where else you are going, right? And sometimes we get to that wall in our lives, and we say, this, and we feel it, and we can't see it. This is reality. This is what we see as reality. But the lights are off. When did the lights turn off? Where did it all go wrong? Well, the Bible says the lights turned off because of sin in the world. And where did that start? We got to go way back. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. And Adam and Eve, and they sinned. They only had the one rule. Don't think down on them. You would have done the same thing. But there they were. Sin entered the world, and darkness entered the world. And since then, people have been searching for the reality, groping around in the world looking for reality. But darkness distorts reality. We touch the realness and we think we know that, oh, this is the corner that leads around to this corner and goes around to this corner, and that's where I'm going to go to the bathroom. Or we think we know because we look and say, that wall is perfect. I know it. Searching for reality. I see our world doing that. Searching for identity. People are always saying, who am I? You grow up. You leave home. What are you doing after you go to school? Well, I want to be a something. and they identify with that. And that's where they grab onto their identity. So they're groping around in the dark, and all of a sudden they reach that thing, and they grab it. This is my reality. Searching in the darkness. But there is good news. Yes, and that's why we're here. Otherwise, this would be terribly depressing. There is excellent news. We find it in John 1:1-9. Yes, we're getting to Ephesians, but first we're going to go to John. And it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When it talks about Word here, it's talking about Jesus. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John was telling the story about the light breaking through the darkness. And that's a good story because Jesus is the light. And the world is in darkness without Jesus. See, the world doesn't think they're lost. The world doesn't think they're in the dark because they have wandered around until they feel that they have found that thing and they grabbed onto it and it gives them some kind of satisfaction. That thing that they feel in the dark. And they think they've got it figured out. How do we make sense of the world where we can't see anything? How is it that the world thinks that they can wander around and say, this must be it? But they don't realize that that thing that they're reaching out for and find that they think is the answer is only part of the answer. And when they hold on to it so tight, they make it the answer. And we make it the answer, what do we call that? It's called an idol. Let's read Ephesians 5. We're going to start in verse 3. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. It says this, but sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather give thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of God. Those really aren't very popular words in our world today. In fact, I hear it very often. I go on, read some articles, I read comments sometimes online, and the comments will say, well, Jesus was love. Jesus did, you know, Jesus is all about, it's just acceptance. These are hard words in our world today. Harsh words. Words. I'm going to focus on one word there. It says, every sexual, immoral, or impure, or greedy person who is an idolater. And so I had a question on my mind. What exactly is that? What is an idolater? And so I drew things, because I draw things to understand. I drew a little circle, and I said, idolater, and I started drawing things. And then I started to think about it in the light and darkness analogy. And this is what I came up with. An idolater is the seeker of the truth without the light. If you have no light, if there is nothing shining in the darkness, you are consistently wandering around in the dark, thinking you have the truth. And you grab onto it. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's your job that's your identity. And you're walking around and you grab that idol and you hold it tight and say, this is the meaning of me. And this is who I am. And then what happens? You get fired. or you do something stupid one day and you lose your job, and they say, get out. And now you're on the street and you're walking home, and you know at the end of the month your family is going to be hungry. And so what do you look for then? You've moved away from that thing that you said was the most important thing, but you're still in the dark. And so you're wandering to the next thing, and there it is. You're in the dark. That idol, that thing, those things that we look for, that we search for in the dark, it's never going to give us that satisfaction of how God planned. The Israelites did this too. The Israelites in the time of Jesus were expecting a Messiah to come along that was going to save them from the tyranny, from the oppression of the Roman world. And they were tired of it. Why do we, God's chosen, need to be bowing to these people? These people. That's how they looked at it. God's going to rescue us. He's going to do it. And then Jesus came along. And he started doing miracles, amazing things, feeding thousands of people from not much. And they said, I think this is our guy. When, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel to its former glory? When are you going to do this? And they clung to that idol. How far did they cling to that idol? All the way until Jesus died on the cross. That's how far they clung to the idol of Jesus. I'm kind of glad they did, because then he died on the cross for me. But they clung hard, and they were wandering in the dark. Jesus died for them, and they rejected him because they were in the dark. Then Jesus rose again, and that was a good day for the disciples and the people that were following Jesus, because he was with them again. But Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to be here for a little while, but then I'm going away. And when I go away, don't worry, I'm going to send someone to help you. And so Jesus went away. And the disciples were, well, now what do we do? A short time later, they were meeting together and they were praying, wondering what to do. And then all of a sudden, flames and a wind come, and they light on their heads, or like flames came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Somebody turned the lights on. Somebody flicked the lights on. The Holy Spirit entered their lives, and those things that they clung to, all of a sudden, I mean, picture it. You're grabbing onto this thing in the dark, and all of a sudden, the lights turn on, and you're like, and you know what they saw? They saw the thing that they were clinging to was not the complete. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus Christ, who was God. And all of a sudden, these things made sense. Jesus said this. Oh, somebody turned the light on. Jesus said this. Somebody turned the light on. Now I understand. I was holding on to this thing that I thought was right there. And the Holy Spirit came on them so powerfully that Peter, he couldn't hold it in. He had to say something. And so there's a crowd of people there. And he said to them, I'm not drunk. It sounds like I am. I'm not. And he ripped into those Jewish people. He just lit into them. It's awesome. You know why I say it's awesome? Because that's what I need every once in a while. I need someone to rip right into me and leave me wide open. And he did it. And he finished off with this. He said, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Somebody turned the lights on for Peter and the disciples. The next verse says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Somebody turned their lights on. And they realized the truth. those things that they gripped onto in the darkness was only a part of the truth. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And everybody saw clearly now. I saw Jesus. The thing that they clung to before was no more. They saw Jesus. Now, we haven't spent a whole lot of time in Ephesians yet, so let's go there. I'm going to read verses 6 to 10. "Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedience because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord." Walk as children of light, discerning what is pleasing for the Lord. In the middle it says, "For the fruit of light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." I started to hone in on that word discerning. If he is saying that we need to figure out how to walk our lives, that means not everything is going to be black and white. It's not just easy. It's not just simple. It's tough. It's difficult. But God gives us tools to discern, to understand, to realize that the truth may be, that the lights may be on and the truth may be revealed to us, because the darkness distorts reality. It was like an epiphany in my head. I all of a sudden realized that the darkness is here. It's not like it's light now and then we see Jesus and it changes and now we see more. No, we can't see anything. It's dark. And Jesus is the light. And he came. And God gives us some ability to discern. And I came up with three things that God gives us so that we can discern things. There might be more, but in my contemplation time, this is what I came up with. You got to know what I'm going to say first. He gave us the Bible, the Word of God, that we can count on and rely on and say, this is the Word of God. And it's going to help me discern and understand. He gave us the Holy Spirit as our guide to turn that light on. Flick, the light goes on. And there we see. I read the Bible. The Holy Spirit is with me. And I begin to understand where that sin is deep in my own heart, where that darkness tries to encroach on the light that I claim to see. Someone's flicking the lights. And the last thing is the church. It's the church like our conference. It's the church like other pastors helping us, the pastors meeting together to do things. But it's also us here. It's us in this group here where we can say, this church can help me understand, discern how to live my life. In our life group this week, the question was, what does it look like to live out our faith in our world today? And in that time, we wrestled with these things by using the Bible. It was open, and we were reading. And we were seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance. And we were helping one another expose the darkness that wants to overtake us and drive us from God. I don't see the darkness that is in me. I don't see it. I need the Holy Spirit, and I need the Bible, and I need other people pushing me in the direction of the light. I need that. I can't go without it, because there's things in my life that I don't want to deal with. There's sin in my life, the sin of unforgiveness, maybe the sin of hating someone, maybe the sin, There's so many things. Just talk to the folks at Rock Solid. There's so many things out there that get in our way, that we wander through the dark and we grab onto and we say, this is it. Well, it's not it. Because it's dark. And you don't even know. How is it that we could grab onto those things and say, this is it? And yet when I turn the lights, when the Holy Spirit turns the lights on, there I sit. And sometimes, what do? We still cling to that thing. We still hold on to that. And we look around and we realize, man, this is, and yet it's hard to let go. It's crazy, but it is. Let's keep reading. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear is light. Therefore, this is my favorite part of this passage. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And the Messiah will shine on you. That is awesome. When I am clinging to that hope that is hopeless and someone turns the light on and then I see. And then what do I see? I see Jesus. That's what I see. I see the Son of God coming into my world and breaking through and dying on the cross for me. There's another little picture that the Bible has, and it happened for real. That when Jesus was on the cross, all of a sudden, the sun was blotted out. And it was dark. I don't know exactly why. But I got to tell you, Jesus on the cross, going through the process of dying for your and my sins. Those are dark days. That's a dark time. He was dealing with a lot of sin. But he did it for me. And he did it for you. Very often, if you are a believer, you go through the process of becoming a believer, and then you go on with your life. What does it look like to live my life? And we, for some reason, we assume the good news of Jesus Christ is just something we need to hear. And as soon as we start assuming that that's just something we need to hear, then somebody's slowly turning the lights out, and it might be you. And so, this is another sermon on Jesus. This is another sermon that says, you need to believe in Jesus. This is another sermon that says, you need to read your Bible, because that's what's going to help us discern what to do in our world. When we come face to face with sin out there, how do I respond to that? How do I respond and show love to someone who hates me? Because you know what? Jesus called us to do that. Because you know who did that? Jesus did that. We hated him. The world rejected him, and he died on the cross for us. I would encourage you to read your Bible this week, to ask the Holy Spirit, come on me, to reveal to me when I read the scripture what I need to hear. Turn the lights on. Help me see and recognize that thing that I grasped onto and held so tightly. It happens. It happened to me while I was preparing this sermon. I was thinking, drawing circles, doing these sort of things that I do to plan. And all of a sudden, this line came to me. And it's like, oh, that's a good one. I'm going to say that one. And in my heart, you know what I was thinking? People are going to really think I'm good because I thought of that line. And in the next second, the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute. Shouldn't you, like, read this? Because this is true to you right now. Right. And I repented. And I said, I'm sorry. It's little things like that It's not just the person addicted to drugs. It's you and me too. We have them. And God is consistently showing you the things that you're idolizing. He's consistently turning the lights on and saying, oh, Jesus again. Jesus again. Always about Jesus again. Verse 15, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days they are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. God wants us to see reality. And the reality in the world that he created is that he is the answer. He is the reason. He is that thing that we need to cling to. And every time we think we have that other thing, we're in the dark. We're clinging to the dark. This changes how we look at our world also. It's not just in our own self. We look at our world and we're out there and I see darkness all the time. And I see how people grope around looking for the truth and they don't find it because the lights are off. They think they have it and they tell you they have it. And they will tell you that you are a bigot because you don't believe the same thing they believe. And yet, the lights are off and they don't understand. I praise the Lord that he is here and that he shed light here and turned the lights on. And now we see. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you for the most wonderful, awesome, powerful, incredible thing that has ever happened. And that is that you saved us. You are the Savior. Nothing can save us. You save us. And I pray for these people here. I just ask, Lord, that you would show them. Show them how they, in their lives, can show them how they should pursue you in a way that will allow you to speak to them and turn the lights on. That the things that they cling to, which are useless and are pointless and are worthless, are just part of your creation. And when we cling to them, we make them a product of evil. Please be with us, Lord. Help us to remember. Amen.
Christian. When people ask you why do you believe in God, when people tell you that they think that's ridiculous, they think that's stupid, why would you believe in God? I told the teenager